ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading text 24. Yes? Text 24. This is a prose verse, so we can't chant responsibly, and I'm really terrible at Sanskrit, but I'll do my best to go through. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Don't respond, please, because it'll take. Anyway.
Ityevam uttara mataha sabvai brahmarshi sutta sindhu pataya atma satatvam viganayatha parano bhavaha parama karunikataya katayo padisha raho ganena saka runam abhi bandita charana apurnavranam apurnarnava itiva nibritta karanorm yashayo dharanim imam vichachara,
or something like that. Translation: Srila Shukadev Goswami continued, "My dear king, O son of Mother Uttara, there were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Jadbharat due to his being insulted by King Rahugana, who made him carry his palanquin. But Jadbharata neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet like an ocean. Although King Rahugana had insulted him, he was a great Paramahansa. Being a Vaishnava, he was naturally very kind-hearted, and he therefore told the king about the constitutional position of the soul. He then forgot the insult because King Rahugana pitifully begged pardon at his lotus feet. After this, he began to wander all over the earth just as before." And that's the translation. And here's the purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-21, Kapila Dev describes the symptoms of great personalities. Ditikshava Karunika Surada Sarvadehinam. A saintly devotee is certainly very tolerant. He is the friend of all living entities, and he does not create enemies within the world. A pure devotee has all the qualities of a sadhu. Jadbharat is an example of this. Due to the material body, his senses were certainly agitated when he was insulted by King Rahugana, but later, due to the king's humble submission, Jadbharat excused him. It is the duty of everyone desiring to return to Godhead to become submissive like King Rahugana, and beg pardon of Vaishnavas one may have offended. Vaishnavas are generally very kind-hearted. Therefore, if one immediately submits himself at the feet of a Vaishnava, one is immediately cleared of offensive reactions. If one does not do so, the action will remain, and the results will not be very palatable. End of purport. Oma jnana timarandasya gananjana salakaya chakshuran meditam deva. Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutane Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. I picked up some kind of throat infection when I was in Sridhar Mayapur attending a yatra, so my voice is much lower than normal. Apology. And if I cough now and then, apology. I'll try to speak. This is a very long section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the life of Bharat Maharaj, and then Bharat Maharaj becoming a deer, and then the deer becoming Jad Bharat. Great personality, Jad Bharat, acting in a way not so dissimilar from his father as Bharat. Rishabhdev also exhibited the behavior of an avaduta, one who totally neglected any consideration of social behavior and all of those things that are so important to some people, most people. Their standing within society is important to most people. Whether they know how to behave properly or not is another thing. But Jad Bharat totally neglected these things. And we know from the previous section, his standing was recognized by the personality of Godhead, all certainly by the goddess Kali, who leapt out of the deity and destroyed the dacoits, the so-called worshippers of Kali that had just invented some idea of worship of goddess Kali by human sacrifice. But when it came to the dear devotee of the Lord, she was enraged. So certainly that's the position of one who has taken shelter of the personality of Godhead. They recognize that they're protected. The converse is, if one is still in the bodily conception of life, then defending is really important. In fact, it's so important, it's more important than any other thing. The animal propensities, Prabhupada has taught: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So suppose somebody is eating, or suppose somebody is sleeping, or suppose somebody is mating, and some danger comes, what happens? You abandon those things, and you do one thing: defend. So strong. And that's on the physical platform, and then there's on the subtle platform. Somebody says something harsh. Has it ever happened to any one of you? Maybe. Maybe once or twice in your life, somebody said something harsh. And what happens? You don't have to think about it. It immediately, in the bodily conception of life, there's something that transforms in the mind. And when that something transforms in the mind, the face is the index to the mind, and the mind is connected to the senses. This is described by Narada Muni to King Prachinibari. It's a very fascinating description of Sankhya, right in the middle of telling a story. He says, one can tell the situation of the mind by the situation of the senses. And he gives the example: if the mind becomes angry, You don't have to think, I'm going to get angry. You just get angry. Because it's connected to the bodily conception. I am this body and mine. Aham and mama. So if someone threatens your mama, your that which is mine, my prestige, my honor, my dignity, my stuff, one becomes angry. And when anger is connected to the hand, you don't have to even think about it. The hand becomes a fist. Have you seen when somebody becomes angry? It just happens. Narada says when the mind is connected to the leg, there's kicking. When the mind is connected to the tongue, there's harsh speech. And from the behavior of the senses, you can tell the condition of the mind. And from the condition of the mind, you can tell something about the previous body, because what is the mind made up of? But impressions from one's life. And it may be a body that's now gone, but there were impressions, and those impressions from the activities of the previous body create desires. And the desires may remain dormant, just like a seed. The tree produces seeds, and it stays dormant. And time is passing, tick, 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 tick. The seed stays dormant. But then the time energy moves, and the circumstances are right, and the dormant desire becomes triggered or stimulated, and then it comes out. So he explains to the king, you can tell something about one's previous body. And if you know the science, you can just read the forehead or read the palms, or you can tell about the person's previous life. And you can tell what are influences that are going to happen coming up. It's a science. Because everything is dormant and it's stored. Or it's presently manifest, parabdha karma, or aparabdha karma. So as long as you're in the bodily conception of life, then those things act. And the advice of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada doesn't quote Bhagavad Gita verse, but it's paraphrased more or less. Tangs tatiksha svabharata. He's emphasizing this quality of a devotee of being tolerant. Because it's mentioned, the body of Jadbharat was there. And body means senses. And it also means the subtle sense, the mind. And something was triggered. He was insulted. So that insult triggered something in the mind. But it stopped there. Because he tolerated tongues to tikshu swabharata. And instead, how do you tolerate when somebody insults you? I was attending some gathering, we were speaking about this topic, and someone from the audience suggested, I don't know about the study, but maybe some of you that have some science background know this, or medical background. The autonomic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, it when it gets triggered, you don't have to think about it. Your adrenal system kicks in, and you know the certain organs, the heart starts to beat and the lungs start to breathe. When someone gets in anxiety, their breath becomes heavy. They pant. You don't have to think about it. It's just part of the way the body works. So they teach, before you say something, do something, count to 10. You've heard that before? What's the deal? The deal is you move from the parasympathetic to the sympathetic nervous system, which you maybe have it backwards. Relax. And even if it's mechanically approached, relax, count to 10. And the rational faculty then is allowed to take over the animal faculty. Fight, defend, fight or flight, they call it. So that's material. Judd Barrett is not on the material platform. He has a material body, but he's not on the material platform. Material body is agitated. He doesn't become agitated. The verse says, waves of disturbance came into his mind, but he tolerated. And he brought his attention to the soul. And he spoke to the king about the eternal soul. There's another nice verse, so many nice verses in Bhagavad Gita. Nasate vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sataha. Ubayor api drishtom tvas twanias tatva darshabihi. Very nice. That which is a tatva darshi, like Judd Barrett, knows the difference between sat and asat. And what do you do in relation to sat? You withdraw consciousness. You don't invest consciousness. If you're in the bodily conception of life, it's really important. Somebody just insulted me. Dog and cat. Woof, 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 woof. And the program goes on. If you're in bodily concept of life. And take it from, you know, from literally from dogs that do that to person to person that do that, and groups of people that do that, and nations that do that, and you got a newspaper filled with this one says and that one says. Go to the internet. Right? Is it? Now, what does a person like Judd Barrett do? They withdraw consciousness from asat and place consciousness in sat. What does sat mean? That which is eternal. Let's start with the soul, because that's what where he goes with King Rahugana. The soul, the platform of the soul. Invest consciousness in that which is eternal. Of course, there's the Supreme Soul. But maybe Rahugana is not ready to hear about the Supreme Soul yet. Just like King Chuchaketu wasn't ready to hear about the Supreme Soul. He wanted a son. So Angira Muni and Narada gave him transcendental knowledge of the position of the soul. And with that, detachment. By knowledge comes detachment. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam ekam purushak puranam. This is part of a verse written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in relation to Lord Chaitanya when they were in Puri. He wrote these verses. When Lord Chaitanya received them, he ripped them up and threw them. But the devotees were very intelligent. Before they got to Lord Chaitanya, they made copies. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam ekam purushak puranam. Lord Chaitanya, an essential part of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, of course it's pure devotion, but pure devotion means, or implied within pure devotion, is detachment, vairagya. So you start vairagya with some being tolerant. You don't invest consciousness in some trouble. My dear devotees, this world is filled. If you want to become disturbed by troubles, go right ahead. There is plenty, and be fully occupied looking at all the troubles. I'll just share this one little thing. When I was a teenager, little fellow growing up in crazy land in America, I had this little realization. Any two-bit teenager can tell you at length all the so many problems. This problem, this thing's wrong, that thing's wrong, because their, you know, rational discrimination thing starts to go on. But where is that person that can solve the problems? Light went on. I don't see any of these people that know how to solve the problems. Where's this? What's the solution to these problems? These people don't have the solution to the problems. Finding the problem isn't the solution to the problem. Unless the consciousness changes, one will create another problem. It's just the nature of the material world. It's problematic. So what's the solution? Go to the spiritual world. Oh, go to the platform of Sat. So that's exactly what Judd Bharat did. Not only he went to the platform of Sat, but he brought the king to the platform of Sat. And what happened with the king? The light went on. Whoa, I've made a big time offense against you. And immediately, Judd Bharat was forgiven. And the result of King Rahugana's being forgiven is the reaction was gone. But not only the reaction was gone, he then had the inclination to ask further. And he heard further. And he became greatly spiritually benefited. Because I was just in Sridhar Mayapur, there's something fresh in my mind which fits this very much, and I'd like to share it. It's a very nice incident in the life of Jayadev Goswami, who wrote Gita Govinda, part of which we sing every time we have aarti, the string of prayers, the Das Avatar Stotra. So there's two parts to this. He was living for some time and at Ganga Nagara, which is by the side of Balal Digi, which is behind the Chaitanya Math. And Balal Digi was named Balal Digi by his son, Lakshman Sen, the son of Balal Sen, who expanded the Kund that was created by Prithu Maharaj and made it a bigger one. He called it Balal Digi. And by the side of Balal Digi was living Jayadev Goswami. But he was quietly living there, just very, not only inobtrusive, just unknown. And he was composing Gita Govinda. And the Vaishnava king, Lakshman Sen, had a principal priest. And the principal priest came to hear about this person who was writing these wonderful descriptions of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. So he went to meet him and he received Das Avatar. And he brought it before the king and he recited or sang. And Lakshman Sen was so moved. He said, I want to meet this person. He's right in my kingdom. And his chief priest said, he's very renounced individual, very private person. He won't want to be disturbed by a royal honor of a king coming. So the king said, but I wish to meet him. So he took off his royal crown and attire and wore simple Vaishnava dress, very similar to King Prataparudra in his approach to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he went incognito to see Jayadev. And when he met Jayadev, he was just being in his presence, he was so moved. He immediately disclosed who he was and said, I'm the king. And you're an amazing personality, and I'd like to serve you and honor you in some way. May you kindly accept the request of paying a visit to my palace, and I'll even make a place for you to stay in my palace. Jayadev said, it is unadvisable for a saintly person to associate with materialistic individuals like you, kings that have wealth and power and intoxicated with their position. Now you've come here I'm feeling the place is contaminated, so I'm going to leave and go to Puri at once. Jayadeva insulted him. It was purposeful. So what did the king, he wanted to see how the king would respond. And he responded with great humility. It is my misfortune that I'm in this situation of being a king. But my life is really to serve great personalities like you. So because you have uttered this declaration, please consider there's a very nice place in a more remote part of my kingdom called Champahati, very beautiful grove of champak trees. And a simple cottage can be created for you there. And then you can, you said you would leave, you can leave. It's on the other side of the river. And in this way, I can get news of you, and I'll never visit you unless you call for me. Jayadeva said, I was just testing you. I wanted to see how much pride there was in your heart and how genuine was your devotion. Now I can understand. You're free from pride. This is very nice. So I'll accept. I'll go and live in Champahati. And he stayed there for some number of years. How is it possible? Here's a king. Prabhupada taught, I remember hearing this as a young devotee, something that he learned as a young man, a young boy. Everyone is proud. And he told the story. He was going with his father one time to Puri to attend Rath Yatra. And one of the stations, when the train stopped, it stopped for some time, so he got off the train and onto the platform, and he saw one man with his wife, a poor man, and he had a cloth. And he had some broken pieces of wood. And he was very carefully moving his broken pieces of wood from this part of the cloth to that part of the cloth, like counting his money. And then folded up the cloth, and Prabhupada said, I could then understand, even a pauper is proud of his penny. And what to speak of someone else who has so much more. Jagannath Das Babaji had a similar pastime. He was being carried in a basket by his servant because he was unable to walk. And as he was passing by in Navadvip, one wealthy man placed 1 rupee in his basket. Some distance later, the biography says, a couple of miles later, he said to his assistant, take me back to that person. And he gave the rupee back to the person. He said, it's so heavy. I can't bear the weight. I don't know how you do it. You have so many rupees. It must be such a heavy burden for you. Pride, when you have next to nothing, you're proud of whatever that next to nothing something is. And what to speak if you have a lot of something. So here's a king that's free from pride. And the sign was he was insulted. And there was no pride. How is that possible? How to become free from pride? It's not only possible when you're fixed in a spiritual conception and you have shelter to support and sustain that spiritual conception. You have spiritual shelter in Sat or in Krishna. Then there's no pride because there's no bodily conception and no sense of proprietorship over what's mine. Then another, just try to do this quickly. Later, Jayadeva Goswami was living in Puri and he was worshipping his deity Radha Madhava, and he had a desire to conduct a nice festival for Radha Madhava, but he didn't have any finance resource to take care of his deity. So he spoke with his wife and said, I'll go to different towns and villages and places and speak and sing Gita Govinda and whatever it is that comes as contribution, I won't use it for my own self, I'll use it for the deity. So he went here and there and gathered some funds and he was on his way back to commence the festival for his deity. Some robbers understood, this man has money. And so they attacked him. They stole his money and they cut his hands and his legs and left him in the forest. One version says they threw him in the bottom of a well. So one day the king was passing by and saw this personality with his hands and legs chopped, but he heard very softly singing this beautiful song, Gita Govinda, that he was attracted to. He didn't know who the person was. He brought him to his kingdom and he took care of him. He's the king, he's taking care of his dependent personalities. And in the course of time, he heard from Jayadeva Goswami, Gita Govinda, and then he could understand, you're not just a person that was attacked in the forest. Who are you? And he told who he was. So, in honor of Jayadeva Goswami, the king arranged for Padmavati to be brought to his palace in a palanquin and arranged a big festival. And the big festival, many Brahmins came because they were going to get some bhakshish, some donation. So in the assembly of Brahmanas, Jayadeva saw the band of dacoits dressed up as Brahmanas so they can get some money. And he called the king over and said, see those people over there? Make sure they get ample, extra funds. So the king agreed. But the robbers thought that Jayadeva told the king, they're the ones that cut me up and stole all my money. So they quickly received whatever was being distributed and they ran. But the assistants of the king wanted to give extra. And so they pursued them. And so they ran faster and they pursued them and they ran faster. And when they caught up with the dacoits, dressed as brahmanas, the king's assistant said, we were asked by the king, why were you running? We wanted to give you something. He said, we'll tell you why. That person, Jayadeva, there was another king who requested us to destroy this person because he's a very bad person. And Jayadeva knew that we knew that he was a bad person, and so he bribed us to leave immediately so that his bad situation wouldn't be disclosed. They lied. Then they saw the earth open up. The dacoits were swallowed by the earth and the earth closed. The assistants of the king were shocked. They went back and reported this to the king. Everything that happened. So the king could understand, not only you're a great poet, but there's something more than that that's about you. He said, and why, if you knew that these persons were the robbers that cut you, that you wanted to reward them amply? And he said, Jayadeva said, this is the conclusion. He said, a saintly person never feels ill towards those who have maligned the saintly person. They actually become their well-wishers. Because, this elaboration is, they're a well-wisher because why does somebody do something bad? Because there's something troubling within them. They do something bad. If they could be relieved of that something that's troubling them, they would also be relieved. And so one becomes the well-wisher. If they're in such anxiety for wealth, then give them some wealth so they can be relieved of their anxiety. Then he said, but providential arrangement is such that they may also get something other than the well-wishing of the individual. In other words, there's the sadhu, as the purport here is discussing. And the sadhu has these qualities. They're very tolerant. They don't make friends and enemies. They don't do that. They're the well-wisher of others. They're not thinking, suradam sarvadehinam, I'm Krishna and I'm the well-wisher of everyone. They're the servant of Krishna. And Krishna is the well-wisher of everyone. So let me be the instrument and the servant of Krishna. Let me wish well upon others. If the Supreme Lord, on the other hand, as happened in the case with Jayadeva, if something else happens to those other persons, that's in the Lord's hand. But from my side, let me be the well-wisher of those who may malign me or make some harsh statement about me. And it goes on. Whoever you are, a small person, medium person, big person, or anywhere in between, it goes on. It's the nature of this place. Tangsa tiksha subharata matras parashastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukada agama payonityas tangsa tiksha subharata. Sometimes there's honor and dishonor, just like sometimes there's heat and cold. It's duality. It's asat. You don't invest in that. You invest in sat. So last thing, there are stages. In Bhagavad Gita there are stages, and in life there are stages. What do you do when something that's in the realm of duality that you don't like happens? Initially, you tolerate. That's the first instruction that Krishna gives. You tolerate. And to repeat, tolerate means you withdraw and place consciousness over here. Think of something, not just count to 10, but think of Krishna. And dastas become attached to Krishna, because that comes later. When there's transcendental knowledge, then that which may look big becomes very small. And when there's no transcendental knowledge, that which is very small looks very big. It's called the mind. When the intelligence is weak, the mind contemplates something. And when you contemplate something, it's like a magnifying glass. It becomes big, big, overwhelmingly big. And then you have to do something, say something, act on the material platform, and become further implicated in illusion, the network of Maya. So knowledge, then, it becomes less significant. Not just tolerate, it becomes less significant. And in the most advanced stages, like Prahlad Maharaj, it's inconsequential. Why? Because the Lord is my protector. That's the Prahlad Maharaj stage. We're not at the Prahlad Maharaj stage. Okay. But learn from the example. And one who, Krishna says, one who always fixes their mind upon me. Here's one other. It's a particular pastime. Just yesterday, we were at Kumarahatta in Goramandala, a place where Shivas lived, along with Vasudev Datta and Shivananda Sen and many other elevated associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Srivas and his three brothers couldn't tolerate seeing Navadvipa without Lord Chaitanya, so they left Navadvipa and they went to Kumarahatta. So in the fifth year of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, just making it short, Lord Srivas was in a state of sadness or separation from Lord Chaitanya. He missed being in Lord Chaitanya's association as he had experienced in Navadvipa. Like many of us may miss the association of our founder Acharya or some wonderful personality who is very dear to us, especially a spiritually prominent personality in our life. It happens. So he was feeling, it wasn't deceased, but he didn't have his association. So he was in a state of meditation. And he was meditating upon Krishna, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes. And when he opened his eyes, Mahaprabhu was standing before him. It's like Dhruva in his meditation. Then he saw Lord Vishnu. And he cried loudly and jumped from his position of meditation and grasped Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and began crying and crying. Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him. Said, Srivas, you're so dear to me. You're as dear to me as life itself. I would like to stay with you for some days. So in the course of staying with Srivas, he noticed he didn't go anywhere. He didn't appear to have an occupation. So he privately he questioned Srivas and said, I don't see you going anywhere. How you have a large family and an extended family. What is your procedure for maintaining everyone? Srivas said, according to everyone's deserve, whatever they deserve, they will receive. And Lord Chaitanya said, but you have to do something. You may deserve, but you have to do something. Please explain. Srivas looked at Lord Chaitanya and he clapped 3 times. He said, that is the secret. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't understand. What did that mean? He said, if 3 days pass and nothing comes to me, then I'll go to the Ganges and take a pot full of water, strap it to my chest, and drown myself in the Ganges. Because Krishna is my maintainer. And I have full faith that Krishna is my maintainer. And if Krishna wishes me to die, then I'll die. Because I'm simply his servant. Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, even if the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, has to go begging door to door, perform Madhukari, which will never happen because she's the goddess of fortune, you will never have a lack of necessities. For I declare it, one who has always thinking of me as you are always thinking of me will always. Please understand the purport of my verse, Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yejana Paryupasate Tesham Nityabhayuktanam. What's the rest? Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham. I will personally see that all your necessities are there, and not only that, my Sudarshan Chakra will be there and your family will be protected throughout your life. Srivas have no anxiety. Of course, he didn't have any anxiety before. Lord Chaitanya was the one that had anxiety. Because he's compassionate. And he wants to see the maintenance. But the maintenance, it doesn't mean, okay, we'll just follow the path of Srivas and don't work. We have to have the qualification. And the real qualification is whether you're in this ashram or that ashram or this situation, that situation. Always think of Krishna. Always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. And how do you always think of someone? Becoming attached to that someone. How do you become attached to that someone? You associate with and serve that someone and hear about that someone and glorify that someone. You become attached to that someone. Especially when that someone is a perfect person. You become attached to that person. So that's the most elevated position. We who are not most elevated, we then adhere to the vani, just as Prabhupada was writing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the instructions. You tolerate. Here, you're walking down the path of life. Here comes some duality. No surprise, right? And supposing that duality is in the form of some dishonor. Now what do? You think of the Vani. That's thinking of Krishna. What does Krishna say? You tolerate it. If you just tolerate it by gritting your teeth and counting to 10, it won't go away. Bring your consciousness to Krishna. There's so many ways to bring your consciousness to Krishna, starting with chanting, or remembering Krishna's instructions, remembering Prabhupada's wonderful teachings to all of his devotees. That means all of us. And you come here to the Juhu temple and observe Kartik month and Damodar prayers and kirtan and bring your mind to Krishna. Hear about Krishna, become attached to Krishna. And then the tendency to become disturbed by some provocation of duality, it diminishes. Withdraw from duality and bring to Krishna. And practice and practice and practice. And then it becomes your way of life. It's just very natural. The other is diseased. And this is healthy. So in a moment, Jan Bharat is going to, a few more verses, is going to describe more of transcendental knowledge to assist the king to go further, having now been relieved of his reactions, of his offending this great Vaishnava. One last thing, looking at the clock, it's 9:10. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his description of the 10 offenses against the holy name, the first one being sadhu ninda, or offending, blaspheming a sadhu, a devotee of the Lord. If one makes an offense against a Vaishnava, not, you know, big devotee, medium devotee, small devotee, a Vaishnava, anyone who's a Vaishnava. If you make an offense against a Vaishnava, one should not think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, one should not think, he or she is a very advanced devotee, and devotees are very forgiving, so I don't have to go and ask for forgiveness because they're forgiving. This compounds the offense. I'll just go on chanting and the offense will be neutralized because I'm chanting. Another offense on top of the initial offense. Whoever that devotee is, the instruction is you should go to that person just as Rahugana did. And best is you do it right at the moment, but sometimes it's difficult right at the moment because there's pride in the heart and you say and do things that are prideful. And later on, maybe, you realize, uh-oh. And immediately, as soon as possible, if not immediately, then the next immediately, as soon as you recognize, you immediately go to that person and apologize. State clearly what it is that you understood that you've done wrong and ask for forgiveness for that thing that you've done wrong. Not just say in a platitude, you're a very merciful Vaishnav, all the wrongs that I've done, please forgive me. Okay, can you list what some of those wrongs are that you're asking for forgiveness for? So that without recognition of the wrongs, how is it going to be cleared? You'll just do it again. Without proper recognition, how is there proper regret? What to speak of rectification? So go to the Vaishnav and submit. Like Lord Nityananda, when he broke Lord Chaitanya's danda, he said, I've done the wrong thing. So you may punish me as you wish, whatever you wish. The rectification part follows the recognition and regret. So, nice lessons right in Srimad Bhagavatam, how to live in the material world and still be a transcendentalist. When you're dealing with King Rahuganas and other people that say insulting, harsh things, how do you handle that in a Krishna conscious way. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Questions? Do we have a microphone? Because I can't hear. Something about duality, that's how much I got.
Hare Krishna. So this duality also applies to when we undergo suffering, like putting consciousness in sat?
Yes. Yes, there's the stimulus and the response. There's the event, that's duality, and then there's what we feel. That's what's specifically described in this verse, is what he's feeling. It's a feeling of duality, feeling insulted, besides what the person said. That's another feature of duality. It's very intricate, interwoven, complex. So step back from that and into transcendence.
But if we are not able to tolerate that suffering, it may not be due to insult or something else. If we are not able to tolerate that suffering, then...
If we're not devotees, then what?
No, if we are not able to tolerate the suffering, it may not be due to insult. If it is some general suffering which we undergo, and if we are not able to tolerate, then...
You mean like a physical ailment?
Yeah, physical ailment or, yes, some such suffering. Yeah, maybe health or something.
As far as the soul is concerned, it's illusory. Have you ever had someone really close to you get a terminal disease and watch them going, 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 gone? Has it happened for you?
Not specifically.
Someone that you know has had that happen?
Yes.
How do you solace yourself and how do you solace that person during that going, going? It can happen suddenly, certainly also. Same message. You withdraw and invest. And withdraw from the temporal and invest in the eternal. And that's what we should be doing now, whether we're healthy or unhealthy, or happy or unhappy, because those are just dualities also. We should practice now to enter into the eternal. That's Krishna consciousness. And it's practical, because it's stuff we deal with every day, all the time. Duality. It's real practical. Not just philosophy, and then we get up from the philosophy class and go do duality. It's practical. And when one can enter into that reality, eternal reality, by the agency of descending mercy from the various practices that we perform. Embedded within them is immense potency to carry us out of duality. We shouldn't just do those things in a ritualistic way, mechanical way, the lamp and the japa and the puja and the... But with it's meant to awaken devotion. And then we can see reality. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Alright?
Another,
but speak a little louder.
Yeah. What does it mean to have faith in Krishna's protection? Is it spiritual protection or like remembrance of Krishna?
Protection of Krishna doesn't mean your body won't get old, diseased and die. Protection from Krishna doesn't mean that. Protection from Krishna means, ultimately, my relationship with Krishna and my remembrance of my relationship with Krishna is what Krishna protects. That can't be taken away by any feature of duality. Now, there may be further kinds of protection. further kinds of protection may come in the form of some calamity is averted. Another form of protection is some apparent calamity may come. That's another form of protection. From my attachment to asat, Krishna takes away the object of attachment. It's in one sense it's mysterious, in another sense it's as plain as day and night. When the personality of Godhead, when Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen in the chest, he was saying, thank you very much for your mercy, because you've accepted me as your servant. Because only a master will act like this with a servant. So you've accepted me as a servant. And I know that that which may look like punishment is actually mercy. I'm feeling protected by you. Thank you for kicking me in the chest and protecting me, taking me on as your servant. That's Lord Nityananda. You know, those things don't normally go on. We shouldn't imitate going around kicking people and things like that. But he's a funny personality. He has a license. He's the license giver. Anyway, protection means primarily spiritual protection, and other forms of material protection may come in different ways. Something? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.